So before we start, I've been out visiting some of the different classrooms over the last few weeks, and I come back in and I see some different faces in here. And so I just thought, let's just go around the room and give you a little introduction of who you are. Name, that would be brief enough for today on that. So Nate, start us off and we'll work down that way and through the middle and to the left.
Nate Gant.
Emily Kosia.
Greg Kosia.
Okay.
Butch Robbins.
Devin Robbins.
A little louder.
Jennifer Horn.
Okay.
Troy Royko, Megan Royko, Susan Royko.
Chris Tyler.
Okay.
And who's a little tired this morning?
Yes.
Dennis Brewer, Kathy Brewer, my daughter from Boston, Kate Brewer.
Her little dad is a little
Deborah and Teresa Perry.
Kathy Button.
And Dick Button.
Dick C. Brown.
Dennis Russell.
Isaiah Taylor.
Jessica Taylor.
Teresa Chow.
Patricia Smithson.
Jeremiah Bauer.
Beth Holman.
Denise Murphy.
What happened to Matt?
I'm in Cutter.
Okay. I was like, sorry, it's a little squirrel there. I get that too.
Yeah,
James Thomas.
Chris Sane and my wife Debbie Sane.
Paul and Danny Oates.
And Brad.
David Mason.
Paul Mason.
Jason Massengill. My children.
And I am Mike Forrest. Go ahead and open your Bibles. We're in John 19. So announcements, I have it up there on the screen, but tonight we are having a messenger meeting following the evening service, and just as a reminder, the member meeting is only for members, and so everybody can come to the service, but then do not ever slide out. We have Junior King, pray for that this week. They'll leave out on Monday, tomorrow, and come back Saturday. We have our Wednesday evening service in the sanctuary, just like we did last week. This week, Elder Mike German will bring the message. And then the annual weekend will be 2 weekends from now, the 31st, the ladies' pool party on the 30th, the next first class. Do we have anybody in here that needs to go to first class? Okay, all right. Are you guys signed up yet? No pressure. Okay, call or email Miss Jane. In the main office, and we'll get you connected with that and get you a step before first class booklet so you can start reading through that. Awana training, and just as Pastor talked about in the sermon this morning, please serve in some way within the church family, serve outside the church family, also serve within the church family. A great way to serve within the church family is the nursery or helping in Awana. There are other areas, but so that's coming up in August, and then the ladies have their comfort and cookies ministry time, and then there's 3 major positions that EBA is still looking for: third grade teacher, technology teacher, and a high school band teacher on that. It's been a while. Did I miss anything? Anything going on that you need to bring out? So here's our contact list. I did go ahead and remove Vic from being there, but the blessing is your name could go right there at the top of the list. And so I know somebody has really been praying about that and had an answer to prayer. And so if you just talk to Doc, he'll give you all the information connected with Vic. If you're not already connected, and we'll put you up there and make it official. It'll be great.
I have 13 years of prayer letters in electronic form that I can pass out.
Yeah. 13 years of material. So don't worry if you don't have experience. He will give you tons of experience on that. The Riveros, we already talked about that. We talked about them and Facebook page with communication. So I thought just to start us off today. So we've been in John for a little while. We've been in it, or I've been in it since November. Those have been in the class, you've been in it for up to 6 years, depending on how long you have been here. What's something that you remember out of the book of John? Something along the way. What do you like about the book of John? What do you not like about the book of John? Bill?
I like John 14, where it says, don't let your heart be troubled.
Don't let your heart be troubled. I hear you. Good. Somebody else. What about the book of John? Denise?
I like the first chapter of John.
Okay. What about the first chapter?
I like how it says in the beginning of the word was God, and the word was God.
Yep. And then you go just down a little bit further. And it says, anybody? Yes. Yep. And that is Jesus right there. Good. All right. Keep going. What else you like about the book of John? Chris?
John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Yep. Good one. Keep going. Roy, story.
I like the Trinitarian thing that you see in 13:14-15.
Yeah. John definitely, he hammers that home in there, a little bit different than the Synoptic Gospels. Chris?
I like the fact that it's from John's standpoint. He was the disciple that Jesus loved, and so he might have had some insights which we see that others didn't. So he didn't duplicate some of the stuff because he had personal experiences that others didn't. So he's kind of on a little different angle.
Yeah, when we think about, you know, the 12 disciples, you know, Jesus spent, you know, upwards of 3 years with them, but we know Peter, James, and John got extra attention, kind of like a micro group. Okay, you'll hear more about that in the next few months on that part. But then John even had extra above that. And we think about Jesus being on the cross. How did Jesus highlight John even when he was on the cross? Say him?
He told him to take care of his mother. This is your...
I mean, you talk about reproducing yourself into somebody else. We know that Jesus had biological brothers, so that they would have fallen in line and taken the responsibility of taking care of this Mary. But yet, Jesus had been grooming and growing John the whole way along there, and so he wanted John to take care of his mom. Right? One more person. What jumps out about John, the book of John, to you?
I'm going to go forward, because I'm not going to be here, but John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, where it says, therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God.
Yeah, there was so much during that, upwards of 3 years that could have been put into any of the four Gospels. But there was not enough room for that to be put in there. So John definitely emphasizes that. But the Holy Spirit intentionally put what we have in there for us to understand, to use, to grow from a lot on that. Okay, so we're John chapter 19. We're going to go ahead and pick it up at verse 38. And so Doc and I have mapped out the end of John. It seems like if things track, we have about 9 weeks left in the book of John. And so now things could happen and things could come up, but that's kind of what we're looking at for the next 2 months. But we're going to start off here with Jesus going to the burial. So something real loud, could you just go ahead and read that for us? Start at 38, go through 42.
After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took away his body. Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths with spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb, in which no one had yet been laid. So because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there.
Let's go ahead and word prayer. Father, in the next few moments, help us to go ahead and walk through these passages and help us to be able to understand it better, understand you better, know you better, and Father, that we will see how we need to obey in this coming week. Would you stand my prayer? Amen. So we have two main characters besides Jesus in the passage. Who are they?
Joseph of Arimathea.
Okay. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. Okay? So interestingly enough, if we look at the three other Gospels, the Synoptic Gospels, who do they talk about?
Joseph.
What?
Joseph of Arimathea.
Yeah. They only talk about Joseph. What about Nicodemus? Now, when do we know who Nicodemus is?
In the book of John.
Earlier in John, we hear about who Nicodemus is. Do we ever hear about Joseph other than around this time? No. And so, interestingly, the Synoptic Gospels focus on Joseph, and this is the only time that we really hear about him. But since John wrote about Nicodemus earlier, then he thought it was fitting to go ahead and write about him here also. So, in reality, we know that both Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus were both there, and they both helped. But yet, depending on the writer's perspective, the human writer's perspective, that's why the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, only focus on Joseph, but then John brings both of them into play. And that's the benefit of having four different perspectives, because they're writing from different perspectives, as Chris talked about a little bit ago, but then also the Holy Spirit allows them to be able to present things differently, because they're presenting to different audiences. We have to remember now, we're not the primary first audience of this. Now, God wanted it for us, but yet, you know, when these Gospels were originally written, they were written in certain areas around the Mediterranean Sea. And so,
that's just a little close. I'm moving that out a little bit. Bill and John, can you help me break that out?
Okay, so we already read that. So somebody, read us verse 38 again, just to start us off with it. Out loud, I meant, sorry. Go ahead.
After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took away his body.
So, not from this verse, but from your vast biblical knowledge of the Synoptic Gospel accounts, what else do we know about Joseph of Arimathea that's not in this verse?
He was wealthy.
Okay, he was wealthy. All right.
He was a Pharisee.
Okay, Pharisee. And?
He was Jesus' uncle.
Say that.
Wasn't he Jesus' uncle?
I don't know if he was or not on that part. I'll have to look at that. I can't say yes or no. Anybody else? Have you heard about that he might would have been Jesus' uncle?
Yeah, culture said there's a lot of objects saying he's out of the Bible, but...
Okay. Let's do a little research this week. That's interesting. Chris?
I thought that the tomb belonged to him.
Okay. Extra biblical seems to tell us through history that it might have been his tomb on that. Since he was wealthy, he would have already had something lined up along those lines. Okay. And then he was probably a member of the
Sanhedrin.
On that. What's the Sanhedrin? We talked about it a few lessons ago when Jesus was on trial and everything.
I like a religious council.
Yeah, religious council within what religion?
Jews.
Yes. Okay. Those were the Jewish leaders. You know, they were the ones that made the decisions along the way there. So that's a little background that we don't get out of this passage. When we start reading this verse, though, what do we get about Joseph? What are we told? Okay, so he's a disciple of Jesus. What does that mean? When you hear that or you read that, a disciple of Jesus
is like a student.
A student? Okay.
A follower.
Centrist.
A follower.
A follower?
He also a secret.
Oh, just to be just. Oh, shh. Too fast. Yeah, we're going to go there in a minute. Just in general, to be a disciple of Jesus during this time,
been a believer of what Jesus was teaching.
Yeah. Okay, all right, good. Keep going. Disciple Jesus during this time.
And you have apprentice.
Okay, good. All right, so now, Chris, what else do we know about Joseph of Arimathea being a disciple of Jesus?
He was kind of doing it privately. He wasn't very open about it because he was afraid of the Jews, because he was in this little select group, and he didn't want any trouble for himself.
He's definitely in an interesting situation where he's, up there amongst the rank, or not in the rank and file, amongst the head of the Jewish religion there in Jerusalem. And now all of a sudden he finds himself being a believer and he's following Christ, but yet he's torn between, I want to follow Christ, but yet I know if I come out as a follower of Christ, it's probably going to, mess some things up. Yeah, along the way. And so he's battling that. In our lives, in your lives, in Christians' lives in 2022, how does this happen? How do we struggle? Where does that struggle come in for us that sometimes maybe dims our light to the world around us? Maybe we're not being totally secret like Joseph of Arimathea was, but yet, maybe we're not being as bright as we could. What's that struggle look like for us, for you, for Christians, believers, disciples of Jesus today?
When you're at work or some other place and there's a group of people you're with and you're just kind of talking and something comes up about Christianity or religion in general and you don't vocalize your faith to others because you're either ashamed or you're worried what they're going to think, and it will leave you convicted in a big way.
Okay, good. Somebody else, how does this struggle come out in your life or other believers' lives today?
If the decisions are being made, there may be some moral or ethical, moral or ethical quandary that you're dealing with because your co-workers, especially if you're equals, and you have to make a decision. Everyone around you probably want to make a decision that's not God honoring, but you have to, for yourself, you're going to have to make that decision. So that may create, a struggle.
Good. All right. Somebody else, how's this struggle, Chris?
Well, being a federal employee, because of policies that are being adopted, we have to be careful how we proceed because it could cause loss of employment. It could come down hard if we say things too forcefully or too strongly to the wrong person.
Yeah. Somebody else, how's that struggle play out in our lives? Chris.
Well, I did the same thing when I worked at Womack. Being a nurse there, my grooming patients was so busy, and sometimes things would come up and you want to say something, but because of time constraints, there wasn't any time to really address it at all, so sometimes I just wouldn't say anything, because, you're not in a private situation, and then to go back and revisit that, sometimes the moment has passed, and it would seem inappropriate to pull that person aside and say, hey, this is hard to believe. So sometimes you got to stress when the iron is hot. I didn't have the time all the time to, address that. Sometimes I was able to talk to, some people, when they're swearing, kicking. There's many things that people do in the world that are not appropriate in the workplace.
So let's drill in. We covered work really good. Let's cover areas of life that aren't work. How is that struggle, how is that challenge for believers today that sometimes we keep it a little on the down low that we are a disciple of Jesus? Not work, we've already covered that well.
Discussions on social media, I went through that 2 weeks ago. I usually don't get into that, but they said something because of the abortion law, and I just couldn't be quiet, and the thing that I was called, you know it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. Ms. Chris?
With family, sometimes, you know, changing your beliefs is difficult for them to understand, especially if they have their own strong beliefs, so that kind of delicate balance at times.
Yeah. So now let's talk about the present for Joseph. So what is he asking for right here?
Dead body.
Yeah, so he wants Jesus' dead body. So traditionally, who would normally claim the body of somebody who's crucified?
The parents or...
Okay, so family would. Why? Why would it normally only be family?
Is that for burial?
There is the sentimental, I think, the family connection to that. I can go with that. But I think there's another reason that, you know, why would it not be family and close friends, typically? It's Chris?
Probably because he was crucified as a criminal, and the connotation with, you know, the evil.
Yeah, so they've been found guilty, and so if you want to go and get the body... But you're not family. So family kind of gets a pass, you know, even if your family is criminal, they're still your family, you're still going to bury them, take care of them on that part. But for friends, there would be a lot of hesitation there because even though they weren't found guilty, it might be guilt by association if I want to go and take his body. So we know that Joseph has been very secret up until this point, but he's really planting his flag now.
Right.
And so we can throw him under the bus and shame him that he's not been, you know, the light of Christ that he should have been. But at least he is now.
Right.
You know, he seizes the moment, he steps up, and he plants the flag, and he goes and he says, you know, basically he's saying, I'm a believer, I'm a follower, can I have the body, please?
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And so that's where for us each day we have forgiveness. And we have the opportunity, no matter if we've been a little more secretive than we should have been about being a disciple of Jesus in the past, every day is a new day. And we just get to cross that line, step over it, ask for forgiveness, plant the flag for that day that we're a disciple and move forward. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to be a Bible thumper. Okay? Because within your context, as some of you mentioned, within your work context, it can be really a boss and a peer thing. So you need to make sure you don't cross certain lines along those ways. All right. So I'm not saying that you should be, you know, preaching on top of your desk and everything like that. But yet, are you being the brightest light that you can be? Chris?
Well, if we go back to some previous thought we had, also for Joseph, it had to be a hard thing to do because being hung on a cross is considered a curse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So to be the one to go claim that body, you're adding something on you that...
Yep.
That's a hard thing to do.
There is a superstition part there, but I'm thinking it's more the threat of what's going to happen in his life. But I looked at the clock and I realized we have 6 minutes, so I need to pick up my pens. So Nicodemus, on the other hand, we do have previous knowledge about him. What was the encounter like with Nicodemus? The first encounter.
About being born again.
Say it again?
About being born again.
Yes, it was about being born again. And what was Nicodemus' question?
How can you?
How can you? Can I go into my mother's womb again? All right. And then Jesus' answer was?
Spiritual answer.
Okay. And so it is, you have what kind of birth and what kind of birth? You got the physical, you got the spiritual. You know, you got the water, you got the blood on that part there. And so, you know, here's Nicodemus. We don't know if he's been secretive or not. I don't know on that part. But yet, again, no matter what he was before today, today he's planting the flag. And he's bringing all of these things to be able to prepare his body for burial, Jesus' body for burial. Back to sacrifice, Pastor talked about this morning. For those in the 10:45, you'll get it in a few minutes here. Yep. This is a sacrifice. This would have been very costly. Even if you're wealthy, it would have been very costly to buy all of this. And so he's willing to sacrifice that
not to mention being very visible now as a disciple of Jesus, but yet he's willing to put his money where his mouth is on that. Somebody go ahead and read us verse 40.
So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloth and with spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. John 19:38-42.
Definitely just one, say that?
Parenthesis.
Yeah. Just wanted to, you know, definitely, you know, put in here, you know, Jesus' death, Jesus' burial, you know, we'll get to the resurrection here, but yet, you know, he was literally dead, you know, it wasn't some kind of little sleep, he didn't take some kind of drug that slowed everything down, all right? He was dead, they treated his body, you know, they would have figured it out. All this, you know, so I just want to make sure we make that little distinction in there. And so, somebody go ahead in 41.
Now, the place where he was crucified there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid.
I'm not saying that this is the main point of the passage, but yet I find a neat little subtlety to the setting. You know where I'm going, Dennis? Go ahead. You were shaking your head. I was like, yeah, we're on the same page right there. What about the setting here?
Well, the setting is, you know, the year garden.
Yep.
And the newness of this tomb. Mm-hmm. It's clean. It's not been...
Nobody else was buried in it ever before.
It's not been defiled.
Yep.
Yeah.
Quite
an understatement.
Yeah, good. Keep going. Anybody else within the setting here that just kind of jumps out?
Well, it kind of started in the garden of Eden, and now it's being finished in the garden.
Yeah. You know, that you know, the whole newness there, the whole garden theme, you know, God created in the garden. I think that that's basically the setting that we're going to have in the end. The new heaven and new earth will be like the garden scene. And so to think through, Jesus, he often went to the garden and prayed, different garden, but went to, you know, so garden is kind of a theme that we see popping up there. It's just specific points, and it just made me think through back to the garden, Jesus praying in the garden, often with his disciples, the newness of the tomb, the freshness, undefiled, for our Lord and Savior. And so that jumped out. So he finishes off here with 42.
So because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there.
What is this Jewish day of preparation? What's that?
Day before the Sabbath.
Okay. The Sabbath was coming.
And the Passover.
Passover was coming. So huge time here in the Jewish calendar. All right. And so what did they need to get done?
Everything needs to be done that takes away from the celebration and the solemnness of the Passover.
So everything had to be done with Jesus' body, put in the tomb, stone rolled, closed up before we had sundown Friday night.
Right, yeah.
All right. So then we had the sundown Friday night, sundown Saturday night. We had that whole celebration going on. And then, as I said, you know, a few moments ago, we'll get to Sunday morning and why we come together and why we gather as the Ecclesia on Sunday mornings. We'll cover that in a couple of weeks on that part there. They still wanted to follow that religious connection, the religious patterns that they had. It still had great value to them. Even though they were no longer Jewish, they still felt bound to them. Sometimes that's okay. Now, sometimes it's not. And that's where you have to let the Holy Spirit discern with you. It's kind of like your work situation or your family situation. You have to let the Holy Spirit help discern, where's the line? You know, how far can I go? Dick?
It's kind of ironic in what they're doing, because they're getting ready to celebrate the Passover, which is a symbol of what Christ just did in the shedding of his blood for all of mankind. And yet, the Passover was not wrong. It was not a bad thing to do. So, but it is a culmination of what Jesus came to do, was to celebrate the ultimate Passover.
Yeah. And if we think that through, is it an accident of the timing.
No.
That the lamb was sacrificed before the lamb was sacrificed.
Yeah.
The timing of it, you know, God was definitely providentially working it out so that everybody could have the strongest witness and testimony. Now, for us today, we have that strong witness and testimony. We have God's story within us. Now it's up to us to be Joseph, to be Nicodemus, and to be willing to plant that flag and go out and be that light, be that salt of the earth that takes God's story, and when we're listening to other people's stories, we connect their story with God's story through our story. But we have to know His story, and we have to listen to the other people's story so we can help them see the connections. That's how we can be that light. That we can go into our work situation, we can be around our family, we can be wherever we do our hobbies, or wherever we shop, or wherever we go to school, and just be that light so that they see Jesus in us. And then we'll get those talking moments to where they see it. Now we need to tell them why they're seeing what they're seeing. And we need to be able to explain that to them very clearly. All right. Time is up. Somebody go ahead and give us a closing word of prayer, please.
Our Heavenly Father, I thank You for Jesus being our Passover, for being the Lamb that was slain. Thank You that as we study this, we have opportunity to reevaluate, look again at who You were for us. I pray that as we go from here today, You would give boldness to be Your disciples. We pray that You would bless Pastor and the service to follow. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Everybody have a great week.